The next item is to open a bylaws amendment period. The next item on the agenda is to begin a bylaws amendment period. Let me read the motion. In accord with Article 7, Section 1B1 of the Pacifica bylaws, and here I will quote that section, there shall be any number of ballots per calendar year related to the amendment of the Foundation's bylaws, which annual voting period shall be determined by the board. All properly proposed bylaw amendments shall be held until that date, which is 30 days before the earliest of the voting dates of the board and of the delegates as determined by the board, quote, the notice date. That's the end of the quote from the bylaws, and the motion is simply, the Pacifica National Board declares the start of a bylaws amendment period starting today, January 7th, 2021. Can I have a second on that motion?
Yeah, I seek recognition, Lawrence. I second.
Thank you, Lawrence. The floor is open for discussion.
Tom, with a point of information.
Yes, Tom.
Yeah, how long is this period?
30 days.
Ron, with a question?
Yes, Ron.
All right, so in 30 days, what are we supposed to do within those 30 days? I mean, are we supposed to launch information campaigns? What are we expected to do?
You have 30 days to submit, a minimum of 30 days to submit a bylaws amendment. Once the 30-day period ends, that bylaws amendment has to have been submitted, and that's the notice date when that 30-day period ends, whatever that is.
Okay.
It's going to be in February something. So once those bylaws amendments are submitted, then another clock starts ticking, and that's the clock where we have to broadcast the proposed amendment and so on, and wait for the first votes on the amendments. So this is just starting the clock ticking.
Can I request your information, Lawrence?
Yes.
Do I have the floor,
okay,
Chair?
So in the meantime, all right, so this is just 30 days for anybody that's going to submit a bylaw proposal. They have to do it within the next 30 days.
Right, okay. And if you're going to submit one, if you're going to go through the PNB to initiate the bylaws amendment process, you have to have 6 directors signing on to it.
All right.
The chair,
thank you very much.
Requesting the stack.
Yeah, request for information, Chair.
And Lydia to the stack.
Yeah, what is your
request
for information, Chair?
And Jan to the stack.
What is your request for information, Lawrence?
Two questions. The amendment will go to the secretary, and does it get vetted by the governance committee, the PNB governance committee?
It could be. It doesn't have to be.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all kinds of preparatory work, but in order to be considered by the Pacifica National Board, it has to have at least 6 directors signing on to it. Who else wanted to be on the stack? I think I heard Lydia.
Lydia, Jan.
Yes.
Jan.
Is someone, are you or the secretary going to send this to all of the LSVs so that they know that they too can propose amendments?
Yes, that should be done because the 2 different local station boards can also begin the a bylaws amendment process.
Okay, so you're going to write some text or something?
Yes, that should definitely be done, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Jan, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. So does that mean that
I didn't quite get what you said about the notice date. So the notice date would be 30 days from today or 30 days from the day that somebody puts in amendment or 30 days from February 7th or I'm just – I didn't get what you said about the notice date.
I believe the notice date would be 30 days from today.
Okay, so the bylaws –
Yeah.
So if somebody submitted something on February 5th, the notice date would be February 7th anyway. Is that what you're saying? It would be...
I believe so. I'd have to... I'm a little unclear about some of this myself. I'd have to check, but I believe that's how it works. Yeah.
Okay, so the notice date is the date that
the amendments are officially proposed, and then they have to be publicized and broadcast. As you know, there's all these requirements for noticing the amendments that are being proposed.
I see. Okay. And so the notice date would be February
time,
more or less February 7th.
Yeah, February something, 30 days from today, whatever that is. Yeah. Okay, we're out of time. So let's. Are there any objections to this motion to begin a bylaws amendment period starting today? Okay.
Chair, the recording secretary. I do not have a copy of the motion.
Chair, this is Nancy.
Yes.
Permission to communicate with the recording secretary?
Yes, sure.
Yes, Marianne, I resent this motion just a few minutes ago to you.
Okay, I will look for it.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll ask one more time. Are there any objections to beginning the bylaws amendment timeline?
Hey, Alex, I have one question. This is Ron.
Ron.
Is this the timeline that Arthur suggested?
No, this has nothing to do with the timeline Arthur suggested. That's a completely separate issue, and they have not sent in any petitions so far, so their timeline hasn't even begun.
Okay.
Okay. Yep.
Can I ask a question?
Who's this?
Lyndon. May I ask a question?
Yes. Yes, Lyndon.
What is the change from the current bylaws? I mean, I pulled up the current bylaws, and I'm having a hard time.
We're not proposing any amendments right now. We're just starting the timeline.
And you said you're not sure of everything that it means?
I believe, I wasn't sure about whether it's 30 days or we have maybe a little more than 30 days. I'll clarify that as we get as to when the notice date actually
kicks in. What is being accomplished? What is being accomplished?
In order to submit a bylaws amendment, the PNB has to begin, has to proclaim the bylaws amendment period has begun. That's the purpose, okay?
Chair Polito with a question.
Yes. What is
your
question?
Does this apply to amendments proposed by petition from listeners, specifically the Newsday Pacifica petition?
I'm not going to comment on that. It has nothing to do with that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, I'm going to ask one more time, are there any objections? If not, we'll just vote on it. If there are, we'll vote on it. I don't hear any objections, so I'm considering this passed without objection. Okay, so let's go to the next item on the agenda. and a report from the interim executive director. Lydia?
Okay, so I'm happy to announce that David Bays was appointed as general manager of KPFT effective January 15th, 2021. He will be moving to Houston this week on Friday, and he is very anxious to start. He's already has jumped in analyzing all kinds of things, and because he was an operations director prior to being general manager, he's very well versed on the technical and very conversant on everything from transmitters to websites to all kinds of things, and so we're excited to have him. I have also thanked Jude Domboni to help for helping us transition to this point. When you're hired as an interim, that's what it is, and it's always with that understanding. And so we are very grateful for that assistance and presence during his tenure the past year. And we're also really looking forward to having a new general manager at KPFT. Every general manager brings something different to the table, and each one of our general managers throughout the foundation, they're all very different and have different experience, again, that they bring to the foundation as a whole, not just to their station. So we're very pleased about that. Also, relevant to the package that was passed by Congress, there's a PPP2 in there, as you know, and some of us on this board attended, I'm not sure now whether Tamara and Anita were able to attend. I attended, and the chair of the Finance Committee and former chair of the Finance Committee attended one of them. There are several webinars out there, and so if you were a business and obtained a PPP loan last time, I'm sure you've already been invited to one of the webinars. This happened to be by the bank that facilitated the approval of our PPP loan ultimately. And so it was interesting, and I think everybody's waiting for more information. Ultimately, I'm waiting for the assessment by the bank to let us know what we think our prospects are relative to the PPP2 loan. For sure, we're able to amend some of the things that we left out last time, and I think that we just need more clarification on that for sure. So we'll be hearing more about that, and it wouldn't surprise me if the application date is next week. But anyway, I do have questions into our bank, by the way, about it for additional clarification. Also, and they've amplified some aspects of it so that it doesn't all have to be payroll. It didn't last time either, but this time it seems to be even a larger portion that can be used for a number of areas that might be of benefit to us. Now, I also attended another webinar that I thought was idle. It was by the California nonprofit, someone on the board. I think it was our new board member who sent that to me from the KPFK LSB. So it was interesting, but I'm kind of confused as to whether that was exactly the EIDL loan or not, and not sure if I have to go through them. We didn't last time. We went directly to the California site and then asked Senator Harris's office to assist us through that. Now, last time, as you will remember, we went through months of nightmare situation because of the application by the development director at WBAI. And, you know, what happens during this time is that there are some scam artists, but also some legitimate, in quotes, brokers And they'll send out emails that make it sound like it's a local loan or it's a local grant or something like that. And it ends up just being PPP. And that's kind of the snake pit you can inadvertently step into and use our 501c3 number, right? And that's what caused us months and months and months of delays with the PPP and the EIDL loan as well. So this time I did it last time too, but some people just didn't take notice or didn't understand what that prohibition was. So I'm asking all of the GMs, business managers, everybody, like practically it was a really, really long list that I sent it out to, don't even think about submitting any kind of grant until we get approved in terms of if it's PPP or if it's anything, just run it by Tamara and myself and wait until we say, yes, it's okay. Because something that doesn't sound like it's linked to it might be a companion piece to one of these things that we're applying for, and it can interrupt it as it did last time. So last time we applied first for PPP, right on the very first minute that they opened up the portal, and then this other loan was applied at WBAI, and they elected to have that one as the primary loan, and they tossed ours, and we had to keep, took us months. But anyway, so we hope to avoid that, and I'm stressing to everyone to please keep us in the loop so that doesn't happen again. But meanwhile, I'm waiting, in fact, for an email from our bank. Also, they were supposed to allow us to send that webinar to others, so I can send it to the full board as soon as I receive it, so that we all know what we're talking about also. This is critical. Of course, the first PPP allowed some of the stations to catch up with their central services, and and payroll, of course, at all of our stations is the biggest ticket. So anyway, so that's that. And so I will be looking into the California equivalent of EIDL, and there you go with that. So I think that's about it in here.
Lyndon,
okay, I have a couple
James
of questions. Okay, Lyndon, James, let me ask my questions first, be real quick. Lydia, I haven't had a chance to look at these webinars or anything, but from what I've been reading about the latest PPP, and tell me if I'm correct or I'm just going by some myth, is it correct that the most you can get that's forgivable in the latest PPP is $150,000? That's question number one. And question number two, is it correct that in order to be eligible for PPP funding, you have to show that your income dropped by 25% compared to the same period the previous year? Can you respond to those questions?
Yeah, and James and Chris could also chime in here. I'm looking at my notes from yesterday. Let's see, 60-40, 60 is payroll, 40 can be mortgage interest payments and so on and so forth. Let me see. And no, I think the $150,000 is not for someone of our size, because remember they have the different levels. I have the $2 million, not $2 million forgivable though. James, Chris, isn't it still $1 million forgivable?
Dwayne,
$2 million.
And Dwayne,
$2 million,
oh, yeah,
was my recollection.
Dwayne's expert on this as well.
James, yeah. $2 million.
$2 million max, but he's asking about the forgivable. Is it still $1 million forgivable and one extra million that you can request?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dwayne.
It's my report.
I would advise, at this point, given the studies that I've made and the information that I've made, there has been no guidance from Carranza, who is the SBA administrator, as you know, and until the bank gets guidance, which is kind of like that instruction, we really won't know. So I wouldn't disagree with the $2 million, but I can't agree with it because she hasn't. And I also believe that within the next 15 days, we very well could have another SBA administrator, and because one was nominated today. And I believe then we're going to be able to have someone in that position that may change the whole program to our advantage, meaning ours, meaning she's definitely probably going to expand or do away with the $150,000 cap that we fell under. So I think what I'm saying is that there is no definitive instructions right now. Carranza is in the middle. She's in like a hard spot, being a lame duck. So I think we probably ought to wait until the Biden administration, if they can, since they did get the two senators, they should be able to expedite all of the appointees as opposed to it would have been held up for months under the previous regime. And until your second question, Mr. Chair.
Okay, go ahead.
No. That was a two-part question. As it
the second
to
question people. Was whether there is a requirement that our income has to, we have to show that our income dropped by 25% from the previous year in order to be eligible.
It's a quarter.
The law is explicit on that particular point, so you don't have to wait on guidance for that. It's 30% in any of the previous four quarters. So that simply means that it won't be a year that they will look at. We should be able to find at least one quarter in the last year mm-hmm. we had a 30% loss in reduction of our expenditure. That's how that reads.
And also there was a representative from the SBA present, so this wasn't just our bankers, and they were expecting more by tomorrow. But again, they said the same, similar to what Dwayne said, is that an awful lot is still not known. So we're going to wait, which we'll see might be of benefit to us right now, but I'll discuss that later.
If there's any further questions, somebody has to make a motion to extend time on this item.
I move that we extend time.
To extend.
How much time do you want?
For 5 minutes.
Five. Let's keep it 5 and make it quick, okay? Are there any objections to 5? Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I heard Lyndon.
Yes, thank you.
Corey, for the staff.
Lydia, this is like deja vu. I'm afraid I have Sandra, Wally, and I have a motion on the agenda, but I'm afraid we're going to run out of time. And so the motion concerns the director's inspection that we've asked for and that we should be getting. And I just wanted to know if you have given any instructions to anybody not to cooperate, or have you given any instructions for somebody to cooperate, or have you just totally ignored our director's inspection?
No, I have been, the way that I spend most of my day is calling through Google to see if the director's inspection process has changed. So what I can send, and I'm happy to send it to the board to see if there has been, I have found two kind of versions of it. And I will send it to the board, and then they can decide if they want to take it up again. Otherwise, those will stand. They are all hinged on reasonable, and which is also in California Corporations Code, and exigent circumstances that would prevent one. It also does not, there's no inference that any director can just walk in and take over the computer or do anything of the sort. As you know, what I sent you before, when you asked for bank statements, I had the business manager at KPFT remove the bank account number and send you all the statements, send them to me, and then I sent them to you, as you know.
And so there has to be something reasonable. California Corporations Code allows you to go in and make copies. Obviously, under COVID, a lot of this is not possible. It should soon be possible in the next, you know, couple of months or so, for
this
sure.
COVID has nothing to do with this.
Okay,
this is
and I will. So what I will do, as I said, I will send the motions that I know to be the process for inspections, and then you know you can debate it with the board.
So you're not going to do
it. I'll send the facts.
You're just going to ignore.
I can't add anything more. And let me say this: California Corporations Code refers to the totality of the board in terms of what is also permitted in terms of a process. But everything, as so many things in law, that it has to be reasonable. But nevertheless, I'll just send you what the board has passed in the past, and then
you can debate it with the board.
Okay, but individual directors have certain rights of inspection for sure. There's no question about that. They do not have the absolute right over the entire board. So if the board has a policy for process, that's what's in place. You can rescind that process if you like, but I'll send it out to the full board. And then as a board member, you can debate it. Thank you.
Lawrence, okay. To the stack.
Unbelievable.
Chris is next. And if we have time, Lawrence. Go ahead, Chris.
I just had a very quick
James
comment about
the stack some time ago.
I think James was either chimed in at the same time as me or immediately after.
Okay, I'll put James
Chris
on after
first.
You.
You heard Chris
okay.
first.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. Chris.
So it's really quick. The 25% question is an interesting one, and I'm not sure how well understood it is at this juncture. And what I'm hoping is that since we still had some eligible funding under the first round of PPP, that we might be able to squeeze through on the second round without the 25% decline, because I don't think we're going to be able to show that even in quarter over quarter. That's a pretty significant decline in revenue, even for an individual unit, an individual station. And I don't think we're going to be able to show it even for an individual station, but we have to show it as an organization, and I don't think we're going to be able to show that. So what I'm hoping is that the funding will allow us to apply for some of the stuff that we did not receive under the first round. So we'll just have to see how that goes. Thank you.
James,
this is your timekeeper. You are out of time.
We're out of time. Let's finish
for 5 minutes.
Let's extend for 3 minutes just to finish the stack, okay? James and Lawrence. It's only two more people.
Do we have a motion? Stack, please.
Oh, Tom, too? Okay, let's make it 5 minutes. Do we have a motion to extend for 5 minutes?
So moved.
So moved.
Any objections? Okay, no objection. Let's go. James, go ahead.
And could you put me on the stack, please? Chair.
Is this Andrea?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a real quick inquiry.
Okay, James, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to agree with Chris about possibly riding on the tails of our first application. Also, they did discuss at this seminar whether or not if you have more than one unit, whether it was satisfactory to just have one unit with a 25% decline as opposed to the entire organization, and the feeling there was that that was not sufficient. It had to be the entire organization. And the most common answer given at this particular webinar was, we don't know yet, as Dwayne pointed out. We're waiting for guidance from the SBA. So I do agree with that. But I was hoping to ask Lydia if she was planning to work with Anita. We can also help her in the finance committee if she would like to just get the numbers together, start to pull the numbers together and clarify whether we would be able to find a 25% decline in any one quarter, and to also suggest that they suggested that, again, once the guidance comes out, we'll know more, but even before the guidance, it could possibly be that they could take a quarter or a 90-day period that was not exactly a regular fiscal quarter and cobble together a 25% decline in that way, and there might be some other ways to cobble together a 25% decline through different ways of thinking about the accounting. So I just wanted to ask Lydia if she's going to be start to work on that. Would she like to work with Netta, or would she like the Finance Committee to help with that?
Yeah. Okay. So before, when they first passed the bill, before I had any interaction with our bank or anything else, I asked Tamara, who's the one to submit the application, has been, and it's before her situation, but anyway, to please start gathering the information, because the way that it happened last time is that she submitted the application. Remember, it happened very quickly. All of a sudden, it's tomorrow, you have to file, and so she did, but she was able to, since it's all at NETA in terms of payroll and everything, cobble everything together, with the exception of the health care that she didn't include from KPFA, because they don't go through our central system. They pay their own. So anyway, and so we didn't get that extra, the money that that extra $10,000 would have helped with. But anyway, that aside, is that I did not at beforehand ask for the underlying documents for everything other than the payroll reports that I always ask for, and that seemed to jive and so on and so forth. But this time I did ask Tamara to get everything together, because she's already been through what the bank requests, since they also have the forms and everything that we have to submit, and they have to vouch for us. So hopefully some of that has already happened. And but I think that this time around, and I would suggest it be you and Dwayne and Chris and whoever else wants to help in advance to put the documents together and help us to better maximize what the application can garner for us. Because it might be trickier, it might not, it might be easier. And so, yes, I completely encourage you to do that and find out who's going to be doing it. I mean, I assume it's going to be Tamara again. Anita really wasn't involved. She only got the information after the fact, just that Tamara had applied. So there you go.
Thank
if you,
you
can help working that out, that would be fantastic.
Thank you,
okay.
Anita.
Well,
yes,
Lawrence.
We'll do that. And it's reassuring
okay.
that you've started on that.
Thank you very much.
Time, 30 seconds left on this item.
Okay,
thank
Lawrence,
you very much.
Make it quick. Make it quick.
Yeah, we'll make it quick.
Okay.
I think what's its transigent is the pandemic. And I have a request for director's inspection out already, and I'm requesting electronic records, electronic financial records. My question is, isn't it a way of accommodating us being in a pandemic by being able to obtain electronic records? I'm not looking for passwords for computers. I think that's ridiculous. But I am looking for financial information. And I have that director's request at the hands of the GM. So can that be accommodated, Lydia?
It sounds like it can be, as long as it's reasonable. I'll go ahead and send you the motion, and then you guys work it out. It's a board motion. Okay. So we've had board motions plus attorneys opine on it. So we've had attorneys opine on this question. So what I'm trying to do is get it all in one place, instead of it being in my head of which attorneys opined and when, and looking it up, you know, on my old email here, there, and everywhere, and then somebody needs to decide. I think that the policy that was passed, I think it was fine. I think it is in keeping with what our own attorneys have suggested.
Okay.
Just a quick last item on the side of Mr. Chair.
Okay, we are out of time.
So, okay,
we're
so
out of
can
time.
I email it to you?
You can
you can email questions to the executive director, of course. Since our ICFO is not here tonight, we're not going to have that item on the agenda, and we'll go straight to committee reports. The first report is from the audit committee. Eileen, do you have any report?
I don't have any report tonight, Alex. Excuse me? I don't have a report tonight.
Next report is from the coordinate committee.
Chair, I seek recognition. This is Lawrence.
I'm hearing two people want to be recognized. What do you want
to like
be recognized?
Be recognized.
What do you want to be recognized about?
I got a motion to make that we adjourn, postpone, continue the agenda to our next meeting and adjourn into executive session.
Nancy, would chair to amend?
Second.
Hold on. You want to make a motion to adjourn before we go through committee reports?
I'd like to make a motion to continue this meeting and adjourn into executive session. Postpone the agenda to the next meeting and adjourn into executive session.
And Jan Goodman seconds that motion.
Nancy,
James,
with a question? Request for information?
What is your... Hold on. Do we have a second for you? Lawrence's motion?
Dan Goodman seconded it again.
Okay.
Several times.
Okay. I didn't hear you. Okay. What is your question,
Nancy? Yes. Could we get a time, a date for that, like next Thursday?
If we're going to have a continuation meeting, we could set the date. We do have an executive session scheduled for next Thursday. We do not have an open session scheduled at this point.
Yeah, we have the reason I would like to suggest that we have a continuation of the open session next week is that we have a lot of urgent business on the closed session for tonight, and we've only got 45 minutes left until midnight.
I understand. Let's go back to the motion. Are there any objections to...
Yeah, this is James. I object, and I'd like to speak.
You can't... a motion to adjourn is not debatable. Okay, we're just going to go to a vote. Madam Secretary, could you please take the role as to whether we adjourn now? And if we do adjourn, then we have to set a time for the continuation of the open session. But we can do that right after we decide whether we're adjourning or not. So let's take the vote now on whether we're going to adjourn or not. Madam Secretary, could you please take the vote?
Point of procedure.
This is a parliamentarian.
And Mr. Tatum?
Yes. Happy New Year, everybody. The motion to adjourn, I think what's meant here, and I think Ms. Sorden brought it out, and that is you have to have one or two motions. The motion to adjourn or the motion to adjourn and continue the meeting at such other time. And I prefer the latter. So
okay.
I would continue with meeting.
Okay, so we're going to vote on a motion to adjourn. Continue the open session.
A motion to continue this meeting. That's the motion.
The motion to continue this meeting. Okay. The date will be next Thursday. We already have a closed session scheduled for next Thursday. We'll just add an open session.
A parliamentary inquiry there?
What's your question, Lawrence?
My question is, I've made a motion to adjourn and to continue this meeting, and continue this meeting to open session and adjourn to executive session. My parliamentary inquiry is that in order, Mr. Tatum?
Well, I think that's what Mr. Tatum was just talking about. I think your motion is the same as what he was just discussing.
Exactly. This is a continued meeting, so next week, and then you would automatically go into executive session now for tonight.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
Yes. So, when I requested the executive session for next Thursday, because it was open, there were no meetings scheduled, and now it's been noticed. I noticed it for 8:30 Eastern. The executive session, I'm requesting that be first. So that needs to be clear, because we'll be inviting our attorneys
That's already been noticed for 8:30. That cannot be.
Right. I'm just saying for this notice, you have to say when you're going to have that open session will be following the executive session.
It'll be following the executive session, say 10:30 or something like that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So we have an objection. So let's just go to a vote. Madam Secretary, could you please take the roll?
Indeed. Elizabeth von Gunten?
Pass.
Okay. Chris Corey?
No.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs?
Pass.
Lyndon Foley?
Abstain.
Why? Jan Goodman?
I'm sorry, I was on mute. Yes.
Jan Goodman? Yes.
Jan, do you hear me now? Jan Goodman, yes.
Yes, I hear you. Sabrina Jacobs?
Yes.
Wally James?
Yes.
Dwayne Lark?
Yes.
Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Ralph Pointer? Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sandra Rawline?
Yes.
Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Sean Rhodes?
Yes.
Eileen Rosen?
Yes.
Yes. James Staggerton?
No.
Okay, Nancy Sorden?
Yes.
Okay, Andrea Turner?
No.
Did I hear no?
No, yes.
Okay, good. Polina Vasiliev?
Yes.
Yes. Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay, I get... Oh, let's see. We had one pass. Elizabeth?
Yes.
Okay, that's a yes. We have one. Oh, we have a second pass.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Vanessa also passed. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 yeses. Let's see, 15 yeses. We had one, two, three no's. And we, let's see, I thought we had an abstention. Yes, we have one abstention. And Alex,
I'll vote yes.
So we have 16 yeses, three noes, and one abstention. The motion passes.
Okay, so we are, so is everybody clear? We're going to adjourn now. We will reconvene in executive session. It's 1122 on the East Coast. Can we reconvene in 3 minutes?